Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Podcast One presents The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show with Heather and Terry Dubrow. Does it work or is it a crock? No worries. Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig are on the case.
This is Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we are in isolation.
Yeah, is this the most, one of the most incredible times in history? I have news, though. This reminds me of all of those other end-of-the-world game changers, like, let's just name them right now.
Okay.
9/11.
Yep.
The Iran-Iraq, I mean, the Iraq, when we attacked Iraq.
Yep.
The global financial crisis. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, the swine flu, but that memory came and went because it really didn't affect us very much. And, I mean, when I was a kid, locally, there was a massive earthquake in Sylmar in the valley that changed my world and was unbelievably scary. And then I remember in the 60s when I was a real little kid, even though I was super young.
I wasn't born.
Right. We were worried about, you know, Russia, the Cold War, and bombing us. We used to stick our head below the table and say, hey, you might just be annihilated. This is one of those times, it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but this is just so crazy. I mean, I was talking with Lindsay on the phone today, and it was just like, I've never felt anything like this. And I worry for, you know, the families that don't have food, and I'm worried for, you know, the kids and, you know, and the effect it has on them. It's hard to be home.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing I'm focused on right now and the thing I'm obsessed with is, let's face it, chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak, that study of only 30 patients in France that showed that maybe, possibly, hopefully, that if you take Plaquenil, which is the trade name for hydroxychloroquine, which is for rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, along with Z-Pak, that it'll dramatically shorten your symptoms, or if you take it early enough, it may even prevent symptoms. We, as you probably all know, there is a study starting Tuesday of this week. This will come out when?
Tuesday.
Yep. Tomorrow. Okay. In New York, where they have 750,000 tablets of this and 70,000 tablets of that, which is Z-Pak, and they are testing it. And we should know within 10 days as to whether a game changer has descended upon us in terms of this very easy to manufacture drug. And it really will be a game changer. And it's funny because Dr. Fauci, the head of allergy and infectious disease for the federal government, is more reserved, and so is the Surgeon General, and that's the way they're supposed to be. But, you know, other people who aren't working for the government are extraordinarily, quote unquote, cautiously optimistic. I'm extremely optimistic because that's just optimism courses through my veins at all times. But if it does turn out to be something, that pill is 5 cents a pill.
Isn't that amazing? It's generic, right?
It's generic. It's been generic since like 1950 or something.
And what does that pill usually treat?
Malaria.
Oh, malaria.
In fact, it's what you take. I mean, you take variants of them now. It's what you take before you go on a safari.
Wow.
You take it prophylactically so you don't get malaria.
That's crazy.
I mean, if this turns out to be a game changer, if this turns out to work, it will change the whole course of this thing overnight. overnight.
Oh, I hope that happens. Now, don't you?
Yeah, and I think we should know certainly within 10 days, 12 days. And a friend of ours, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who's a big spokesman for what's going on in the coronavirus, doing a great job, is personally funding a study right now out of his hospital at New York Presbyterian, Columbia, of patients and putting them on this. So we will know in a very short period of time. Gosh, just if you want to say a prayer, if you want to think positive thoughts,
yeah,
think it, because for this Plaquenil, this Z-Pak, because a vaccine is not going to save us from this now. It'll save us from this next year.
Yeah.
But not right now. So that's what we're looking towards.
So I told you I was talking to Lindsay before, and I was saying I erased everything on my whiteboard and I wrote, stay fit, stay safe, stay sane.
Yeah. So how do you stay sane right now? You know, it's funny because the tendency is to feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah. What am I missing out on? Where did my life just pause?
Yeah.
Will we ever come out of this? Do we have enough food? Do we have enough money? How am I going to pay bills? There's a lot of that.
But I can never remember in my life where, it's funny. What was that movie with Will Smith where he plays a fighter pilot and there's the president and there's these aliens that come down. What is it? 17? You know, this big movie, the aliens came down to attack Earth and,
Alien.
No.
Isn't it called Alien?
No.
What's it called, Anna?
Freak. It's called, you know, the world got together to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith. Isn't it like 1770 or Will Smith? Independence Day, right?
Yes, Independence
Day. Independence Day. This is... And Independence Day is the first phenomenon
worldwide
that's been a global phenomenon ever. Can you ever? I'm sure there's been the Spanish flu in the past, but not since we've been.
No, this is the first. I mean, I don't know of another pandemic crisis is since the bubonic plague, like something that went through the world, because, you know, you have hurricanes, you have tsunamis, you have even the swine flu it was in a certain area, right?
Yeah.
Like all these different things. But this is something that's literally the entire world.
Now, I think that, having said that, I think China is back online. And I think they're mostly open and functioning.
Yeah, no new cases.
No, very few. So
very good.
What did that take? 3 months?
I don't know.
So what I don't really understand is why they're so smart and there's so many of them and they had such a bad outbreak. Why can't they say, yes, Plaquenil works. Z-Pak works.
Were they not trying it?
They were, but it's just like
why don't they know?
That's what concerns me, because you would think the smart people would know that it works or it doesn't work. And they could say, hey, this is the dose, one Plaquenil a day along with the Z-Pak for 6 days, and boom, you won't get it. Why don't they know that? We're about to know that.
I don't know. So before we have a guest today, Dr. Neil Baer is going to be here.
What an interesting guest to have at this time.
Oh, I know. He's such an interesting guy. You know, he's not only a physician, but, you know, executive producer of so many incredible TV shows. And of course, the show he has on right now.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Designated Survivor
is so weirdly... It's like, you know, what does it say? Is life stranger than fiction? You know, that whole thing.
I know.
It's weird. And they seem so predictive of what's going on and the whole thing. So that's pretty crazy. But before he comes on, let's give a few tips. Stay safe, stay fit, stay sane. All right. So stay fit.
Yeah. I mean, we're all depressed. We're all scared. But if you possibly can, now is the absolute time to start an exercise program. Make it easy. But if you were exercising, add 50% to it. So like, you know, I was running 30 minutes a day. I'm now trying to run 45 minutes a day. I mean, what else are you going to do with your time? The advice I have for you is come out of this, if you can, physically better than you went out.
And staying fit mentally also is important too. Puzzles, reading, games, keeping your mind working. It's like, it reminds me of when the kids are off on summer break and they're not doing anything except zoning out in front of the TV.
Yeah.
You have to keep your brain working.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, one of the things I'm concerned about is that we all are sitting at home doing nothing, staring at piles and piles of toilet paper and ready to eat food. What are you going to do when you're staring at those things and you're bored? You might start eating.
Yeah.
We joke about the Corona 19, meaning you gain 19 pounds during the coronavirus. Not funny now, but it might be funny once we come out of it. But at the end of the day, I think people are going to gain a lot of weight. Try your best not to do that right now. Sleep more, add an hour of sleep on. Oh, the other piece of advice is, turn your TV off. Give yourself
a break,
very short allotted periods of time to collect the bad news. Because right now, the media, look, I love the media, whether you love or hate the media, at the end of the day, they want you to pay attention and they're going to give you as much bad news as is possible and scare you because that's what sells ads and ratings. So don't stare at the television. I tell my mom that all day because I guarantee she's 24/7 staring at how bad this thing's going to get. Look, if it gets worse, we'll get through it. But there's no point in obsessing over the news on the television.
I agree. Okay, so that's stay fit.
Sleep more.
And then
control your thinking. Stay away from 24/7 news.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Clean your phone. Your cell phone is that one object that you put up to your face all the time. So even if you've washed your hands, make sure you're wiping down your cell phone frequently.
Stay sane.
Yeah.
So for me to stay sane, you need person-to-person connection. Well, you know, we're lucky. We have a lot of people in our house. We've got four kids. We've got the two of us. If you're alone, or even if you're not alone, but you know, you need friends. FaceTime your parents, grandparents, cousins, sisters, best friends from college, for a little laugh, a little levity, a little something to connect with people.
Absolutely. So just meditate, keep it together, and do your best.
All right. You guys stay tuned because Dr. Neil Baer is coming up next.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig.
If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a casual game anyone can play, but made for adults. And you can spend as much or as little time as you'd like in the game. Hey, we're all at home right now. Why not play Best Fiends? And you don't even need Wi-Fi, which is the best news ever. Most of your characters are bugs and the antagonists are slugs. You're absolutely going to love this. It's a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike any other puzzle games out there. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events so it never gets old. Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
So today on the show, we have Dr. Neil Baer, a Harvard lecturer on global health and societal medicine, also executive producer and showrunner for amazing classic programs like SVU, ER, and Designated Survivor. We're very, very excited to have him with us today. Please welcome Dr. Neil Baer.
Hello.
How are you?
Self-isolated place. I'm good. I'm good.
By the way, what a weird time to be talking about this. And you're a unique individual to be discussing a lot of the issues, what's going on today. And obviously, I wonder if this provides any fuel for any of your future scripted show ideas of this craziness.
Well, yes. And we did it on year 3 of Designated Survivor, which is on Netflix. And if you go on Twitter, literally right now, people are talking about, who is the designated survivor? And did you see in year 3 on Netflix that they had a pandemic with flu? And how did they know? And the answer is because I worry about these things and people talk about these things. And we did a lot of research with some very smart people from MIT and Johns Hopkins and Harvard when we were doing the show last year. And I'm working on new projects that involve CRISPR, which is what the show was about last year on Designated with Maggie Q's character, uncovering a plot using CRISPR technology to tamp down voter participation. So I'm really interested in CRISPR, and I just finished a special issue in a journal called Perspectives in Biology and Medicine that Johns Hopkins puts out. And I had 12 leading geneticists and bioethicists and the dean of Harvard Medical School write about CRISPR technology and talk about the amazing, miraculous things it can do and also the very fearful things that lie ahead. And I think COVID provides us with an opportunity to think about what could be next and be more prepared.
What is CRISPR technology?
So CRISPR is a tool that was discovered by a researcher at Berkeley named Jennifer Doudna. And essentially, bacteria make enzymes that fight viruses. And so she used this technology, this discovery, to make literally what's like a scissors and glue technique, where we can cut out, we can literally, like a scalpel, slice out a mutated gene and glue in one that's not. So for instance, there's a woman who's in Tennessee who has sickle cell anemia, a genetic disease. You get it from both your parents. They carry two genes. One is sickle cell gene and one isn't. And you have a 1 out of 4 chance of getting it. 100,000 African Americans in the U.S. suffer from this terrible, debilitating disease that causes unbearable pain and strokes and early death. So she underwent a CRISPR technique where they cut and they put in a gene to allow her to make a hemoglobin that wasn't defective like hers. The sickle cells are like not round, flowing red blood cells, but they get stuck in your veins and arteries, and that's what causes strokes and all these terrible pain. So she had her bone marrow taken out and killed, and she didn't need a transplant from someone else, which would cause rejection problems. They took her own blood cells. They used CRISPR. They turned on a fetal hemoglobin gene that would make healthy hemoglobin, and then they retransplanted it in her, so she got her own cells back. And she's doing really well. So this is a miraculous treatment. It's also being used for a disease known as beta thalassemia, another blood disease in Germany. And it conceivably could be used to treat cystic fibrosis. You could just now start down a long line of genetic diseases that this could treat.
What about coronavirus?
Well, it can't. We have to know more about the coronavirus. And treating the coronavirus, so the coronavirus is not genetic in the sense that it's not part of our own genes, our own genome system. So cystic fibrosis is caused because we have a mutated gene that causes our lungs to get clogged. COVID comes into our body as a virus and attacks certain kinds of cells, and then we have an immune response. So we could conceivably make some COVID we could do something to a COVID virus so that if people had it, we might be able to do something with CRISPR to make it less virulent. But the other side of it is that we could construct viruses that are even more lethal than COVID. And what's amazing about this is that the positive side, as I just illustrated with, you know, treating sickle cell disease, we could also do this, and it doesn't cost very much money. You know, with nuclear annihilation, you need nation states that, you know, can afford billions of dollars to make these weapons. And you need, you know, very, very toxic metals like plutonium. And you can't go around with a briefcase of plutonium and live. So we've been lucky in that sense that, we have mutually assured destruction. If you blow us up, we'll blow you up. All bets are off the table with CRISPR. For $2,500, you could get a DNA sequencer, and you can buy these pieces. And with CRISPR, like I said, scissors and glue, you can glue them together and God knows what you could make.
Wow. So, that's my question. So I'm listening to you talk about all the amazing things that CRISPR can do, help with sickle cell, help with cystic fibrosis, but automatically, and since you're such a creative, talented writer, my mind then goes to, what are the evil people going to do with that technology?
Well, that's season 3 on Netflix right now, Desert Survivor. That's what happened. And nobody, it didn't really get much attention because people said, somebody at TV Guide said, well, this is like far-fetched or this is silly, but they didn't really know what the possibilities are. Now people on Twitter are saying, oh my gosh, did you see Designated Survivor, the 3rd season? They're doing exactly what's happening now. And that's because we knew that this was all a possibility. It was with CRISPR, but it still was a pandemic that was created. And so, you know, we're not going to be able to stop CRISPR. So we have to figure out, how do we control it? And one way is to possibly pass legislation that doesn't make it so easy to buy these pieces that could be put together, so that you could screen, like if somebody's ordering a sequence that says CCTGATG, those are the 4 letters that are used, and that is, you know, we know the sequence of smallpox or Ebola, and it's like a little too close, then we wouldn't sell it to them, or we'd investigate, why is this company, or why is this lab, or why is this person buying these pieces? There's no law that prevents these companies. They're supposed to self, you know, they have a mandate to check these things. But, you know, there's been some really creative ideas, like making these machines automatically stop, you know, producing a CRISPR'd virus if it's detecting certain sequences that are known for smallpox or Ebola or whatever. So we have to start thinking about ways to prevent this, because unlike nuclear weapons, it's really cheap to do this. And some scientists say we shouldn't be talking about it because it gives people ideas, but I don't subscribe to that, because it's already out there and you can go online and read all about CRISPR. And we just did a special issue in the journal Perspectives in Biology and Medicine on this, because I think it's so important to talk about the good and the miraculous and the other possibilities, so that we're smart about it. Because we haven't been smart about COVID. We should have been able to test. We should be able to not only test if someone is positive, but, you know, we should be able to test if someone has antibodies. Because can you imagine if we were able to screen a lot of people and someone came in and they were fine and they were positive for the antibodies, which means they had been exposed and their body, you know, either went through the disease or they didn't, they were asymptomatic, but their body made antibodies. Well, if we were able to screen and do that, then we would know, and then maybe we kept them quarantined for 14 days. Possibly those people could go back to work, because it's not clear that they can be, there's been some anecdotes, but it's probably not very likely that people will get reinfected, because people don't typically from viruses. So that's what a vaccine is about. It makes your immune system mount a defense against measles, mumps, chickenpox, smallpox, Ebola. So if we have antibodies, then conceivably we could screen people and say, you know, after 14 days or whatever we decided and they were fever free, go back to work.
Right. But
no, we're not doing that. We're just sort of in this kind of chicken coop with lots of chickens running around not knowing what to do.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. And that place is ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GUINEAPIG. ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, people always look to The Simpsons as having been very predictive over the decades of things that are to come. But clearly you have been very predictive of medical mysteries in the world, obviously because of what's going on with Designated Survivor and what's going on in our world. So what do you predict will happen from here with this virus?
Well, with this virus, I think it will, if we're smart about it, it will go like most viruses and it'll sort of burn out and then it will come back like it might be doing in Hong Kong. But there are ways we know that if we socially isolate and, you know, don't keep spreading it, that eventually it'll, you know, and we'll have a vaccine, one hopes, and then it'll be like forgotten. What I hope happens is that we learn from this and we don't let something worse come down the pike. And a lot of people say, well, these bats, we know bats are responsible for SARS, MERS, and COVID-19. And that evidence was around several years ago, as actually for COVID-19. So when we are chopping down forests and jungles, and because we're traveling so easily around the world, it's easy for people, for these animal viruses to spill over into people like it did with HIV and primate and monkeys. We have to be more astute and careful about how we're mixing humanity with these wild animals, particularly bats, which account for 1/4 of all mammals, and they carry these viruses. So we have to learn from COVID and prepare for, you know, more of these what are called zoonotic viruses, and we have to prepare for CRISPR.
Right. So here's
like just worry about it, and then when it happens, panic again and go, "Oh my God, what do, you know, what do we do now?"
So here's the million-dollar question. Right now, today, as we speak, and officially starting tomorrow in New York, are the trials with Plaquenil and Z-Pak, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm friends with Dr. Oz. He actually is funding his own clinical study at Columbia University. Yeah. Where they're trying it. Now, the interesting thing is this is, you know, one of those inflection points, at least right now in terms of this disease. It either works not at all, it works dramatically, or it works moderately depending on the phase, stage of the disease. So it's amazing how many times a day I check Twitter and I put in hydroxyquinone, you know, and I say, or Plaquenil or Zepa or whatever, and I'm saying, so what today... celebrities like Daniel Day Kim, who was on Hawaii 5-0, is coming out and saying, look, I don't know. I know this evidence is anecdotal, but for me, it was the game changer. What is your medical instinct right now at this point in time tell you about the possibility that this will be the game changer?
I don't think so. And I think that we've learned like Tamiflu is used to treat the flu. It doesn't cure your flu. It may lessen the symptoms if, as you were saying, taken on time. There have been cases, for instance, there is a drug that was banned because it caused terrible malformations in babies. It was called thalidomide. And thalidomide was given to women as a way of treating nausea. Now, it so happens that thalidomide is a pretty good drug to treat multiple myelosis. And so that is a case where a banned drug is not banned anymore. It's also used to treat leprosy, which is pretty uncommon. But, you know, this does happen. It does. It's not, you know, an impossibility that there was a drug that was developed for, of all things, nausea and pregnancy that treats a terrible cancer, multiple myeloma, or leprosy. So you have to really understand, I think, the biochemistry and the pharmacological elements to see, you know, if it works. But, you know, I do feel that if, you know, Plaquenil works, that will be great. And I think we should test, but, you know, I don't think that chloroquine is a cure. And the other thing that we don't know is we don't know the placebo effect of taking these things. And secondly, we don't know the range of illness of COVID-19 very well. I have my own suspicions now, just in my own life. Like, I was sick like 3.5 weeks ago. I was around some people at a writer's meeting. One person then got sick 3 days later with a, quote, terrible cold. Another person got sick a week later with terrible laryngitis and a low-grade fever. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I had COVID-19 because I fly a lot between LA and New York. Now, I was tested by my doctor, who I went to medical school with, a great doctor, and in Beverly Hills, Sean Nasseri. And he tested me for respiratory viruses. There's a test called a TOPA test. And because I came in and I had an ear infection, I'm prone to ear infections, and I just did not feel well about 3.5 weeks ago. And I came up negative for influenza A, influenza B, respiratory syncytial virus, all these different viruses. Of course, COVID was not tested for then because it didn't, quote, exist really in a testing form. Fortunately, they freeze these swabs and he can go back and test it. And if I'm positive, then I'm going to, you know, and I'm fine now, then I'm going to understand sort of how in my own life this kind of moved. And I have the suspicion that I might have pretty well have been. And so my point is that people have various, and we know this from Rand Paul to a doctor who died in Washington, that there are a number of different variables that affect the course, some predictable, like if you have diabetes or heart disease or smoke, and some unpredictable, why some families, you know, all of them got, you know, many of them got sick and died in New Jersey. So we don't know enough, but I have a feeling that chloroquine is not going to cure COVID, because that we would know if you took it and you got better and you didn't die. Yeah. But I would like to know one thing. I wish they would do a study, and maybe they've done it. I want to know how many men on respirators in Italy smoke, because I looked up yesterday the smoking rate in Italy, and it's pretty high amongst men, about 30%.
Like China, that's...
And yeah. China is about 48%, and it's very high in men in China and very, very low in women, about 1.5% or 2%. And so I'm wondering, is it about our immune system as men versus women? Women have more immune diseases, autoimmune diseases, maybe a more active, quote, immune system like lupus and things, and men than men do. So maybe their immune systems are more suited to fight COVID-19. But also I want to know, how much does smoking have an impact? So I want to know how many of those men in Northern Italy on respirators are smokers. And I bet it's a high number.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You say that a lot of my friends who are also physicians like me and you, they think that it's been around for a while and we just haven't been testing for it. And I tell them, if that's the case, then it certainly isn't more fatal than the regular flu, because the denominator is much bigger than we knew.
Absolutely. Right? It's like, well, you know, there's a disease that kills 1,200 children every day called malaria. Yes. And there's no panic. So why is there no panic about malaria, which is killing hundreds of thousands of children a year? And the answer is because there's no uncertainty about malaria. We know what causes it, the Anopheles mosquito. We know how to treat it, chloroquine, many other drugs. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We know how to prevent it. We don't do a great job about it because we're not dealing with it here, so we don't maybe care as much. But panic is induced by uncertainty. And so once we have more certainty, like we have certainty about the flu in a way, we're used to it. Once we become used to COVID-19, then we'll move on to something else. I just hope that we use this to learn how to prepare for worse things that can come down the line. This study that was done in 2017 of bats near a cave near Wuhan, showed a number of different coronaviruses, and one of them was very, because people are saying, you know, it was made in a lab, and I think this just refutes that, which is this virus was in these bats, a very genetically similar virus to the one that's causing COVID-19 that was found between 2005 and 2017 in this study that was published in a reputable journal. So these viruses have been around. They just haven't spread because we weren't around these bats. But when you start bringing these bats into marketplaces and they're around, for instance, a civet, that's how we know SARS was spread by civets, because the bat cages were on top of the civet cages and the bats defecated around the civets and the civets then caught the virus. We know a really interesting story in Australia. These horses got this terrible virus. I think it's called a Henda virus, and they bled from their throats. And only three people unfortunately died, a vet and some stable workers, because they had literally had to put their hands down these horses' throats to help them breathe. So they had a very intensive exposure, kind of like bird flu. Fortunately, bird flu is terribly fatal, has a very high mortality rate, but it's very hard to get it. So we're very lucky in that sense. Well, this virus that attacked these horses, they went around, and it was like a detective story. And it appeals to me as a writer. They trapped every animal, bug, bird, lizard around the area. And they, through observation, watched these brood mares. And they noticed that they would go under fig trees for shade because they were pregnant. And these were the horses that were more likely to get this virus. And then they noticed that the horses were eating the figs that had dropped from the tree. And guess what? Bats were in the trees eating the figs. And so the horses ate the saliva from these bats and therefore caught the virus. And fortunately, it's not so transmissible to people, but a horrible bleeding, like an Ebola-like virus. So we learn a lot through observation. But
can I ask you a question about the animals then? Because it sounds like all of these diseases are coming from animals, yet our animals, our pets, don't get them.
Right.
Why is
that? That's because you have to have receptors that will bind to these viruses. So what's really interesting about bats is that, why is it that bats carry all these viruses and don't die from them? And the answer is because they have very tamped down immune systems. They need to spend all of their energy and their metabolism to fly, because they're the only mammals that fly. And they're one quarter of all mammal species. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So they harbor all these viruses that live inside them, but they don't make them sick. And we don't get sick because we're not around these bats until we are around these bats, when we start cutting down jungles and forests and things like that. So it just depends what the luck of the draw is. There are a lot of viruses that affect our dogs and cats and don't affect us because we don't have the receptors for them. But it just so happens that camels and bats had a receptor connection, as do people, and that's why MERS emerged. But there are many, many other viruses that are around that affect different animals and don't affect us. But there are some that affect us as well, and they're deadly.
Yeah, it's been shown that these viruses jump back and forth, even from us to our pets, but they don't cause any kind of disease.
Exactly.
Interesting, you know. So, it's funny because I see us sit here, and how long do you think it would take you or us, if we were getting upper respiratory symptoms and had a fever, to get a dose of Plaquenil and Z-Pak into our digestive tract?
For us?
Yeah, I would be calling.
A few hours.
Yep. So I am extraordinarily hopeful, and I'm just an optimistic person.
Yeah, no, I would like to believe that Z-Paks, but you know, how many people, so then we'd have to know. Because Z-Paks are so overused as a physician, as you know, which is, you know, we have a terrible problem with antibiotics and
resistance. Yeah.
So how many people had COVID before we even knew it was COVID and took a Z-Pak? Maybe they got better. So now we'll have testing done in a way that can assess it. And before people just start buying, you know, there was a story that was really kind of frightening, that people were buying chloroquine, and people need it because they have various kinds of arthritis or lupus, and they really survive with it, and they weren't able to get it. And so we have to be really careful. And that's another case of, you know, it was a preventing malaria, but it also is used for autoimmune diseases. And I think that's why they're trying antiretrovirals for HIV and any kind of autoimmune drug like Plaquenil and all these drugs. They can try them and see if there's like a match, like, you know, and that's, it's possible. I just don't think, given where we are now and what China went through, that if chloroquine really was a magic bullet, I think we'd know about it. Like, we know that thalidomide is a magic bullet in a sense for treating these very rare diseases. I don't think that's going to be a case, whether it's more like Tamiflu and it tamps down the symptoms or makes the course of the disease less virulent, that we need to study.
Yeah, well, it's being massively studied as we speak. This is incredibly fascinating.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Incredible writer. We've enjoyed all of your programs over the years. It's just been really terrific getting to speak to you.
Likewise. Thanks for letting me chat. And I hope your audience goes and watches Now Designated Survivor and sees, you know, what a pandemic can do with CRISPR.
By the way, how can they not now?
Check it out. Designated Survivor on Netflix. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care. Stay well.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig.
LaCroix Sparkling Water delivers refreshment, flavor, and sparkle with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium. LaCroix's 25 flavors are derived from natural sources with natural fruit essences. 25 LaCroix flavors. Hibiscus is the newest one, plus the fancy blends. That's the LaCroix Curité flavors and four Nicolas. LaCroix sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are sustainable and recyclable, and they're the first on the market to be produced without BPA liner. LaCroix sparkling water is available nationwide. For a full list of retailers, visit www.lacroixwater.com. That's LACROIX water. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
That was interesting.
I mean, what an interesting time to talk to him, a guy who actually fictionalizes stories that actually have a real life effect on us, if you think about it. I mean, he actually concepted this in one of his scripts for Designated Survivor.
Is that crazy?
It's just unbelievable.
All right. Well, thank you guys all for hanging out with us. We so appreciate the support. Hey, by the way, speaking of TV shows, if you're a couple.
Yes, we have we're casting for a new TV show, and it's about couples who are married between sort of 5 and 9 years.
Yeah, you don't really have to be married. You could just be together as a couple.
Together, yep. We're going through some tough times and want both a relationship makeover and a physical makeover. And if you're interested in potentially being a part of it, it's for a major, major cable television network.
You go to troopercasting@gmail.com. And listen, send pictures. Tell us your crazy stories. What makes you interesting? What's going to make a jump off the page? We already have some really great couples we're very excited about. But maybe you need to be on the list too, or someone you know. You can always nominate a friend or tell a friend to write in that you think would be great for the show. We're super excited about it. Hope you guys are all staying fit, staying safe, staying sane. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow. Download new episodes every week on the Podcast One app, iTunes, or at podcastone.com.